house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your house in order. And hurricanes, famine, and disease. Can't you hear my Lord talking to you? You better take heed. Get your house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your in order.
Oh, do it right away.
For Jesus is coming, yeah.
No man knows where or when.
Get your house in order.
For he's coming back again.
There are so many homeless people,
yeah,
in this world today, but God has plenty of houses and land if you give him your life today. Get your house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your house in order.
Oh, do it right away.
For Jesus is coming, yeah.
No man knows where or when.
Get your house in order.
For he's coming back again.
There's so many homeless people in this world today, but God has plenty of houses and land if you give him your life today. So get your house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your house in order.
Oh, do it right away.
For Jesus is coming, yeah.
No man knows where or when.
So get your house in order.
For he's coming back again.
Get your in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your house in order.
Oh, do it right away.
For Jesus is coming, yeah.
No man knows where or when.
So get your in order.
For he's coming back again. For he's coming back again. For he's coming back again.
I've looked at my watch, and I want to assure you that I won't keep you too long. There are two things that are remaining on my mind. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The second is, I was way down yonder by myself. I couldn't hear nobody pray. There are times in my life, in the life, as I was growing up, the conditions were bad. My nephew and I was like 12 or 13 years old, and we went and put a roof on my grandfather's house. They were poor, had nothing. And members of my family, I couldn't hear nobody pray. All during my life, there were circumstances in our lives. And I'd be out by myself, way out by myself, and I couldn't hear nobody pray. I had a brother who was an alcoholic in Youngstown, Ohio. And my mother and my father were so concerned about him all the time, all the time. And it just seemed to me like my other brothers and sisters, it seemed like they didn't care. It seemed like he's messed up. Ain't never been no good. Been a drunk all his life. But I couldn't hear nobody pray. I was way somewhere by myself thinking about my brother. Oldest brother in our family of 10. And I couldn't hear nobody pray. But my wife and I went to Youngstown, Ohio and got him, brought him home, got him dressed up, got him with my mother. And I thank God for prayer that he gave his life to the Lord, joined the church. And sometimes I just think about the time when I was just way somewhere. On my job, I remember I was not paid much money and I didn't know what it would do. We needed some money. And I just didn't know what to do. I walked away from the job, which I had never done before. And guess what I did? I couldn't hear nobody pray. I went and prayed. And I don't know how the owner of the business sent somebody to find me because there's nobody supposed to know where I was. But they found me. And I came back and he said to me, "What is your problem?" I said, "I need money. I don't get paid enough. You don't pay enough. I don't have enough money." Guess what he did? "How much do you need?" I told him $100. He gave me $100. I tell you, sometimes the best thing you can do, take your burdens to the Lord. Because people don't always care. They're not moved by those circumstances such as you are. And sometimes you have to get out there by yourself because you haven't heard anybody pray. I want to talk today about the reputation of the church, and I promise not to keep you too long. One thing I'm really grateful for, I'm not so smart or so highly educated or so have great expertise by anything. I sure don't have much money. But I do think I have a pretty good reputation. And what I wanted to do today is talk about the reputation of the church. Many people, even preachers and pastors and even churches, have had a bad reputation. My first church was Unity Baptist Church. And they were 65 miles away, had about 11 members. And I was so happy to be pastoring a church, I didn't know what to do. 65 miles away, every other Sunday. Church called Unity Baptist Church, but they didn't have much unity. Ava and Mike called it the Grasshopper Church. And on Christmas Day, first Christmas Day of my pastorate, the weather was bad, snow was on the ground. As I'm going to church, What? It's Christmas Day. And it's snow on the ground. I got me two concrete blocks and put in the trunk of my car to kind of hold me down to the road. And I took off. When I got there, I couldn't hear nobody pray. Nobody was there at the church. No fire was in the stove. But I love to be a pastor. I thank God I went to one person's house and we talked about it. And about 30 minutes we went down and started the fire. Maybe about three or four more people saved up. I preached. Because I thank God I was a pastor. They had a reputation of not really caring what things were going right or not and all that kind of stuff. One time we went and one of the deacons gave me some money to buy lunch for my wife and my two children. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. He said, well, you'll never get offered another one again. I'm talking about a church's attitudes. When I became pastor of West End Baptist Church, I knew that they were in a poor storefront building. They had no money, very few members. And I later found out that they had a bad reputation. There were people living in the church without the right kind of marriage and that kind of thing. There was others who were ready to fight whenever you said anything that they didn't like. Bad conversation going on. And I found out that somebody had a weapon hid in the church just in case somebody else tried to act up. And I couldn't hear nobody pray. Way in a congregation was responsibility, but I couldn't hear nobody pray about those circumstances. But God blessed the church to become a loving, worshiping church that grew extremely, progressively, and effectively witnessing body of believers and God honoring the church. It makes a difference, Larry. When people pray. God kept growing that church, I tell you. People were coming from all over the country, out of many states, because they heard it was the friendly little church where everybody is somebody. I thank God for a church where everybody is somebody. I don't know what your position may be, where you live. I don't care how much money you have or don't have. We ought to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And our neighbors as ourselves. My parents were not I don't know what the word I'm trying to say. They didn't have a whole lot of money. They didn't have much. But there were people that loved God and loved people. And they loved one another. Several years later, I was almost begged and troubled to help St. Paul Baptist Church, who had a bad reputation that was made known almost everywhere due to a Sunday morning fight. They brought 13 police cars to come to settle the fight. After prayerful consideration and meeting with my supervisor of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, who agreed to let me try it, so I responded to their request. They had a bad reputation. But God is able to turn bad into good. I like their songs that said, Jesus will fix it. And there are a lot of people in the world and in the churches that need fixing. And there are times when there is trouble in our way, as my wife sings the song, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all right. Because Jesus will fix it after a while. Aren't you glad about that? Now listen. there's some things that I couldn't fix. My parents couldn't fix. My family couldn't fix. But Jesus is still able to fix it. Are y'all glad about that? I mean to tell you, nobody can ever love us like Jesus. And I don't like talking about somebody behind their backs when they have troubles in their lives. Their behavior may not be suitable to your expectations. But God loves them. And I know with all that is within me, he's able, willing, ready, and loved us so much that he died in order that he might be able to fix your sin situation. That's the kind of God I serve. You know how I know we can fix it? Because he fixed me. That's how I know. I know it beyond that, but most of all, I can declare to you today that I am what I am by the grace of God. Not because of being smart, not because I had an opportunity to get a little bit of education, but I got on my knees and confessed my sins. Turned my life over to the one that had paid the sin debt before I even asked for it. His name is Jesus. And I don't know what your circumstance may be today, and folk may be putting you down and looking at you like you're not worth anything, but don't you be fooling yourself. God loves every one of us so much so that however our mess up is, whatever folk might think about us, put your faith and your confidence in him. And stop being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may become the person that folk thought you could never be. I appreciate all the kind things said about me and all things done. But I want to tell you how it happened. I met Jesus. I like that song that since I met Jesus, you know what I'm saying? I'm so thankful for that. And he lives within me. Let me go on. The church, I told you about the church seemed to be so appreciated. The church seemed, I'm talking about St. Paul, had a great appreciation for me, almost begged me to become that pastor. Found out again with the KBC supervisor who have given me the privilege of becoming a pastor. And I want to talk to you today just a little bit. Paul, Silas, and Timothy came together to write a letter to the Thessalonian church members. They began the letter by stating the most important part of the letter. And here's what they said to that church. We are writing this letter because you belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I became the pastor of St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights. I didn't know a whole lot about Shively, except that the first black family that came here were bombed. House was blown up. And I didn't try to find out any more about Shively Heights. But when Mark Payton came to me with tears in his eyes, one whom I had preached in every church where he had been, lived in their house. My wife and I lived in their house when they were way away from here. And I was treated like I should have been treated by him and his wife, but not always for the members. So when he talked to me about coming here to become merging with this church, I thought, God has blessed St. Paul Baptist Church. We bought 10 houses, a beer joint, liquor joint, built a house, rebuilt the church, and paid off the debt. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It is no secret what God can do. And I thought about this. I said, Mark, I have to think about this. You talking about me leaving this church. How about this church? Well, he didn't tell me how much, but he told me we need some money and we need some help. And I'd like you to merge. Well, make a long story short, there was approval by our church. That church that had all those squad car fights and all that kind of stuff that were happening at the church. God had blessed that church. I say, Jesus can fix it after a while. No doubt about that. To leave that alone and go on now, I want to go again and get a look at the text and talk about the reputation of the church. Paul, Silas, and Timothy came together to write a letter to the Thessalonian members. They began the letter by stating the most important part of the letter, which said, "We are writing this letter because you belong to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is why they were writing that letter to this church, because they recognized they were belong to God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good reputation for a church, to know that you are not your own, but you have been bought with a price. Jesus paid the debt that you could be a member of the family of God. Lord have mercy. When I read that part, he said, "With you, you receive the message from joy from the Holy Spirit," talking about the church in Thessalonica, "of the severe suffering it brought to you." Every church where I have pastored, there have been some suffering involved, some struggling involved. Everywhere. We don't just automatically come together and join the church and then become rich and blessed and everything going all right. There will be troubles in our way. "In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord," is what they are writing to Timothy. "As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece." Chavel Heights, St. Paul Baptist Church of Chavel Heights, your reputation is out. People came all the way from Canada. 44 people on a bus came all the way to Canada to experience the life of this church. It's good to have a good reputation. This church has been shown so many people that black and white people can come together, serve God together, love one another, trust and obey God, and be what God would have a church to be. And it has been my privilege over these many years to be able to see this take place. My heart is broken by people who love this church, but health went bad on them, and they can't be here. There are those who have passed away, regretting not only the death, but the fact that they had to get away from this church. Your reputation. And here's what he said. Here's what this letter said. "Throughout both Macedonia and Achaia, your reputation is everywhere. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere." I'm reading the text. even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't even need to tell them about it. They already know that. St. Paul Baptist Church in Shavuot Heights, your reputation is out there because of what God has done in the life of St. Paul Baptist Church at Shavuot Heights. And I want you to know that I don't take credit for it. I have done my part, but you have done your part. And my prayer today is that when I'm no longer your pastor, which I am not at this point, because I retire. I retired Wednesday. I preached last Sunday. When I got through, I retired right then for Wednesday. Now, why did I retire so quickly? Let me tell you why I retired so quickly. I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to retire right now. Because as long as there is a pastor, you can't look for another pastor. So I wanted the search committee to get busy, prayerfully, thoughtfully, making sure that you are listening to God and seeking the person that God, not what you think might be nice, but the person that God has in store to make St. Paul Baptist Church at Shavuot Heights a greater church than I had the ability to help bring us together. That's why. And I thank you, Brother Bill, for praying, having the church to pray. God sent me, because I wasn't ready to go anywhere, because we were out of debt. I had a new Lincoln Continental. But he's in charge. Second thing, I'm not going to keep you long. The second thing is the return of the church. He says, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us, how you turned away from idols to serve the living true God. Everybody under the sound of my voice, come away from idols and serve the living and true God. Serve him with gladness. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to every generation. I feel good today. I love this church. I love the people that make up this church. And I hope and pray that it will never change. You didn't make black history, but you made some history. I get to sing songs like I couldn't hear nobody pray, and you don't get mad. I think about the time. I'm almost finished. The return of the church. And finally, we talked about the report of the church, the reputation of the church, and now the reward of the church. Look what it says. These three people are writing this letter to Timothy. I'm sorry, Timothy, they're writing the letter. And here's what they're saying. The reward of the church. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven. One day he's coming. And I tell you, when we are troubled in this life, and things seem like they're just getting worse. Problems everywhere. Murders, robberies, you name it. And you're just sometimes afraid to be in your house. We're in that kind of world today. All around us. But thank God, if you are a member of the family of God, You ought to be like this church that I'm talking about. They speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven. I know I am. And someday it's going to happen to every one of us. And we have so many sad people whose lives have lost. They've had to leave us out because of health or other situations and circumstances. Here's what it says. Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, that's who you're looking for. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of our coming judgment. I'm so thankful that every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deed done in your body, whether good or bad. And I don't know exactly how everybody feels, but I'm so glad that whenever that day when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, because I have been able to love him, to serve him, trust him, obey him, I know he's going to say, well done. Good and faithful servant. Don't forget that faithful part. Good and faithful. You've been grateful over a few things. Come on home. Where the wicked shall cease from troubling, and the weary will be at rest. Every day will be like Sunday, and the Sabbath will have no end. Give God some praise in the house of God. The reputation of the church. It's invitation time in the house of God. Doors of a church are open.